Well, good evening to those who have joined us. I'm so glad that you're here. My name is Tracy Ray with Pink Pigeon Media, and my business is to manage social media pages for people just like you so that people just like you have time to go and build their business doing other things besides social media. So it's my passion and it's my love, and I am really happy to be talking about Twitter because I fell in love with Twitter about 5 years ago. And at first, I was very puzzled by Twitter, didn't understand it at all, and would make fun of it. And then when I started using it and seeing the potential that it had for business, I really did fall head over heels over it. So I'm really excited to talk to you about it tonight, and I hope that I can shed light. And I do want you to feel free to ask your questions. I did receive questions in advance, and they might have been one of yours. I have place those questions at the end of the PDF document along with answers, which I think we will be able to get to tonight, but I'm committed to answering your questions. So if we get to the end and you're baffled or bamboozled by something, I will stay as long as I need to answer your questions and see if we can get you on track. So let's just jump right in with page number 2. It all started with a little tweet. I want to tell you that it would be impossible for me to weed through the mountains of Twitter's success stories to pull out the very best ones of all. But as an example, there was a place called Broadway Books that was a little independently owned bookstore that came under some serious threat during economic downturn just a few years ago when the housing market crashed and people just stopped spending money. And their store was absolutely teetering on the brink. And the owner went to her son and said, "We got to do something. What can we do?" And her son immediately took their story to Twitter. And I don't know what it was he tweeted, and that was not recorded in the story. I don't know exactly what the tweet said, but whatever it was he said, it spurred such an interest in their community that the entire community rallied around their bookstore, and it's not that it just saved the bookstore, it actually caused the bookstore to thrive and took it to a whole new level, and it really was because of the tweet, the Twitter effort. And because there are so many stories like that that do inspire and make you really want to explore Twitter more, I've put stories.twitter.com on this PDF for you to check out at another time. Just even if you just read 2 or 3, it helps you to see just the big impact 140 characters can make, a well-crafted tweet can make, truly all the difference. Putting Twitter to work for your business, for your practice, is not a terribly complicated thing. It's really just a matter of getting a handle on Twitter and how to use it, which before I say anything else about Twitter, I have to say that Twitter is one of those platforms that, to really get a handle on it and begin to understand what it can do, you really have to jump in and do it. I can explain things, and I can take you through this module, and I hope that it will light a fire for you to want to use Twitter for your practice, but the truth is it's going to take going in to Twitter.com, creating an account, and beginning to listen, as you mentioned, Cheryl, when we were chatting before we got started, listening to what others are saying and joining in the conversation, that it begins to make sense. It's all of a sudden, I've heard this from so many people, all of a sudden the light will go on. They'll start using Twitter, they'll use it for a couple weeks, and then into long into week 3 or 4, they will all of a sudden go, "Oh, I get it now." There is something about this little platform that I will do my best to explain tonight, but I really want to encourage you to start an account, even if it's just for fun, and experiment with Twitter. And it really is. It's very fun, and it is also very eye-opening. Twitter is a powerful, powerful tool, in part because every single week there are billions, not millions, billions of tweets that are flowing through Twitter, and it's about everything. People are talking about the very topics that you guys coach about or want to coach about. They're talking about current events. They're talking about health and fitness, you name it, celebrities. They're talking about all of it. So someone out there right now who is your most ideal client is out there tweeting. They're tweeting about the topic you want to coach about. They're out there. They're already there. And because they're already on Twitter, this is such a great opportunity for coaches because you can truly just step into the conversation. You don't even have to work for it. You just have to search it and find it to step into the conversation. And the truth is Twitter can really help you meet those business goals as you're building your own personal brand. You can engage your audience by tweeting your ideas, your principles, your practices. You can share links and pictures and videos. Talk about the very topics that your potential clients are talking about, things that are top of mind. And the more people who are out there talking about your business and the more you're out there talking about your practice, the more followers that you'll get and potentially more clients that you'll get. There is no social media platform that's a magic bullet. There are times when a simple tweet can save a business, like the example that I just gave you. Most of the time, things are not a magic bullet. It does take time and working and crafting out a plan, but as I'll get into in just a little bit, these things on Twitter don't really take a ton of time. They just take a little bit of forward thinking and loosening up your belt to be yourself and to be who you were put on this planet to be. You can understand how Twitter works so that you can actively and effectively join the conversation. And I'm going to start on page 3, jumping in. It might feel like I'm cart before the horse here, but I feel like if we just talk about the anatomy of a tweet real quick so that if you've not used Twitter before, you can look at very quickly what we're talking about. On page 3, I have the anatomy of a tweet, and it starts with, I didn't number this one, but I'm sure I should have. It starts really with your handle, which you can see on page 3. Mine is at Pink Pigeon Media. The at symbol tells you that that's somebody's handle, their Twitter name. Number 1 I've used as an example of a hashtag. And in this one, I have social media news on at Mashable is the best way to keep up with the changing face of social media. And then I've added a link there. And you've noticed that I use a hashtag on the word social media, and a hashtag is that little pound symbol. A hashtag is any word beginning with the hashtag sign that people use this to organize their conversations around a certain topic. So by clicking that hashtag, it will take you to results of everybody who's talking about the term social media. This works with everything. If you are a relationship coach and you want to talk about divorce or remarriage, you can put a hashtag in front of the word divorce and put it in your search on Twitter, and it will come up with everybody who has used that term. It's a great way to drill down and find out what people are talking about, what they're saying about the topic that you have on your mind. The second bubble is what we call a mention. Sometimes you want to bring a tweet to somebody's attention, but you still want all your followers to see that message. So instead of a personal reply, you can use what's called a mention in the Twitter world. Include the at symbol in front of the username for whoever it is that you want to mention. If you wanted to mention me, you'd say, hey, at Pink Pigeon Media, la, 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 and put the rest of your tweet. That's how you mention me. And then when you tweet that, that will appear in the mentions section in the Connect tab of your Twitter page. It will still be in the newsfeed, but it will be a specific mention. All that username mentions are clickable too, and that link, and it will link back to the mention individual's profile. So when you're mentioning someone, you're really spreading around a little Twitter love. People like to be mentioned because other readers may click on that clickable link and go back to their profile. So you're doing other people a favor. It's a great way to build all kinds of great bridges on Twitter. People enjoy being mentioned. Number 3 is a reply. At the bottom of that little tweet there, you can respond to a tweet by hitting the reply button. And when you reply, your response is public, and it will show up in your home timeline and the timeline to the person to whom you're responding. So the reply will also be visible in the home timelines of people who follow both you and the person to whom you sent the reply, meaning someone not in the conversation has to follow both of the people replying to be able to see both sides of that conversation. If you think of Twitter as a whole, like a big, huge party with thousands of people, and if you were to walk around and rub elbows with different groups of people, all these little groups of people of two or three or four or five or ten people will be talking about a topic, and you can move from pocket of person to pocket of person to see what they're talking about. You can interject anything at any time. That's kind of the big picture of what's going on with Twitter. So when you use a reply, it's as if you stepped into somebody's conversation and you replied to something somebody said. Number four is a retweet. You can pass along someone else's tweet by retweeting it. Just hit the retweet button to send the original message again. This time it'll hit all of your followers. And then there is number five, which is the favorite button, which is just a way for you to give somebody a pat on the back that you liked their tweet. All you do is click the star and it lights it up. And then those three little dots under the number six bubble, it's a more button. And when you click on that, you see this drop-down picture that I showed you where it shows delete, tweet, share via email, embed a tweet, or pin to your profile page. So, yes, you can delete a tweet. If you've tweeted something you don't like and you rethink it, you can delete it. You can share that tweet via email just by clicking that button. To embed a tweet on your website or blog, you click embed this tweet located at the bottom of any tweet permalink page and select the HTML code or the link from the pop-up dialog box, and you can copy and paste that code provided in the dialog box into your website or your blog page. That's what embed a tweet means. Pin to your profile will place that tweet at the top of your Twitter page where it will remain until you unpin it, which is kind of cool. You may have some news that you want shared for a few days or whatever, and that's a good way to keep it at the top. And then you'll see number seven is a link. Twitter's link shortening feature allows you to paste a link and it will shorten it for you, and it'll put it right there so people can click on it, and it'll go to directly wherever it is you're directing them, which is pretty cool. Now, you're limited to 140 characters to work with. And people who are new to Twitter will always say the same thing. I've heard this a million times. I've heard it once. What can you possibly say in 140 characters? And I always remind them, just think over the last year of the number of times a celebrity you heard hit the news because of some dumb thing that they tweeted, that they got in trouble for or a hand slap for or had to go and apologize for. Those make the news because they're sensational and you're not going to be tweeting dumb stuff. But the point being that 140 characters seems to be able to say a lot if it's said at the right time in just the right way. So there's the answer to that. We want to engage the audience. So the very first thing that you want to do I'm not going to skip ahead, but I'm not. Let's go ahead and go to page four and talk about our profile before I talk about this next part. When you're creating your Twitter page, you start with your profile. Your Twitter handle or name, once you get in there to twitter.com and you start creating, you'll find out that you're limited to a certain number of characters for your handle. And sometimes it can take a little playing around to get the right name or one that's not used. If somebody else already has that handle and it's something that you love, 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 there are options. There are things that you can add. If I left Pink Pigeon and it was taken, I could use Pink Pigeon 62. That's the year I was born. But you could add things of that nature just to set it apart if you're stuck on a certain name that someone else already has. It does take a little bit of playing around to come up with your Twitter handle, and the reason is because Twitter's so huge now that names are not as easy to come by as they were when we first started using Twitter. I don't know what the number is at this point, but it's in the millions of people using Twitter, so all these handles are being used. So you may have to find yourself having to get creative to come up with the name that you want that represents you the best. You have a very short little amount of space to express yourself in the bio. You'll see there I have social media management for small business. We love social media, and we also like cheese. Now, what we found over the course of time with Twitter is that people tend to respond to these very human things, even on business profiles, which is why I added something goofy like, and we also like cheese. And I changed that kind of phrasing stuff from time to time just to keep it fresh and different, although I leave my icon picture the same so I'm recognized. I'll sometimes change my profile out a bit. And I would encourage you to express yourself in your Twitter bio. Twitter is, if there's ever a platform for you to be yourself, and I'll mention this again in this PDF, this is the platform to be yourself. And your bio is a great place to start. So be sure that you use in your bio some keywords. You'll see I have social media management. Those are my keywords in my bio. Be sure that you've make sure that those are in there and then build on it from there. And if there is space, you can sneak your Facebook address right in there. Now, Twitter does not have a space specifically allotted for your Facebook address. And that's why I sneak it into the bio right there, and lots of people do, because you want people to be able to find you anywhere and everywhere that you are. If you're a Pinterest lover and you use Pinterest for your business, you'd want to put your Pinterest address in there. But you see where I'm going with that. Utilize that space as best as you can and play with it and know that it's not in stone. You're going to be able to change this a million times if you want to. If you don't like it, just change it. It's not in stone. Your location is optional. Now, for most coaches, the reality is the location isn't usually that relevant because so many coaches coach on the phone or on the computer by Skype anyway, and many coaches have clients overseas. So it's not necessarily that important that you put your location if that is germane to your business. Now, if there's some reason that it is specific and you meet with people face-to-face and that's just how you do it, then your location will become very important in that specific situation. And, of course, you want to add your website or your blog page, either one. It's a wonderful way to get your website, just one more link for ways for people to find you, so don't miss that opportunity to do that. Take a look on page number 5. I want to talk to you about making the most of your space. If you are sitting at your computer and you have Twitter pulled up, and if you have a Twitter page and it's pulled up even better, you know that you have a big banner across the top of your page that you can insert any kind of image that you want there. Now, in this particular example, I've used one of my clients where I created the banner for him, and I wanted to utilize the space at the top with as much information as I could that would be of benefit to him. So I used his own tagline from this website, Conventional and Innovative Alternative Approaches for Optimal Health. And I used his business name, Advanced Integrative Healthcare. And I also included DrEpperly.com. That's his website. Now, this banner is not clickable. That website is not a clickable link on the banner. It is in his bio, so it's clickable there, just not from the banner. But I did want to put that there so that it would be before the followers when they see his page. I just want to put it everywhere I can, every chance that I have, so that people can find him easily. You'll notice the banner shows up across the wide expanse of the page when it's viewed on your computer or when you click on the Twitter user's handle. This is when you see that big banner. The banner image also shows up in a condensed view on handheld devices or when the home button is clicked. So you can see right under there that a little condensed version that shows up right above his head. It's just much smaller when you click on the home button. Now, when you create your profile, you're going to want to toggle back and forth so that you can see how it looks. You want to be sure that that banner is showing up the way that you want it, regardless of which viewpoint your users are looking at. Just so toggle back and forth and take a look at it. Be sure it looks how you want it to. And if you don't like it, like I said, you can always change it. Now, I forgot to include this in this particular PDF, so you'll want to grab a pen and jot this down. For creating Twitter banners, I have found nothing easier than going to a site called Canva.com. It's like the word Kansas, only without the S. It's Canva.com, because it's a tool specifically for creating banners and tabs and pages for social media pages, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. And when you get on Canva.com, you can see a little box there that says Twitter. The beauty of this is that they've already got the dimensions figured out for you. All you have to do is pop your image in there, and it's automatically sized properly. So no more back and forth and resize and resize and delete and resize and re-upload. Canva does that hard work for you. So that's C-A-N-V as in violin, A.com. Wonderful, wonderful tool to use. Okay, so number six, I love the conversation that we were having right before we got started, that one of you was saying that before you started tweeting, you wanted to take some time to listen, and that's really, really smart. When you first join Twitter, it's tempting to start tweeting right away, but before you begin, it's really a better idea to follow and observe other coaches or businesses that are similar to yours, or listen in on hashtags of people who are talking about topics that you coach about. Spend some time listening for a little while first. And to find out what people are talking about, if you want to know, for instance, if they're talking about remarriage, then you can use hashtag remarriage and just pop it in that little box you see I've indicated there on page six where it says you can find out what people are talking about by doing a hashtag search. You just pop it in that little button and hit that little magnifying glass and start listening in on the conversation. Now, the neat thing is you'll start to see which people are saying what about your topic, and this helps you figure out the kinds of people that you want to follow. Now, to follow someone means that you are subscribing to their stream of tweets, their little news feed, and will automatically receive their tweets in your timeline. And when someone follows you, your tweets will show up in their timeline. Now, Twitter has an asymmetrical follower model, which just basically means that you don't need to approve of this person following you. In fact, you don't get that option. And they don't get to approve you either. Now, you can block someone if they're being obnoxious, but that's as far as that goes. However, you'll likely want to follow back most of the people who follow you. This acknowledges them, and it gives them the opportunity to reach out to you through a direct message if they want to. It's just a good way to get the conversation going, and people like to be followed back. For advanced searching, you can always try this twitter.com/search-home link that I've provided here, and it gives you all kinds of different criteria for digging deeper into searches if that's what you want to do. I have not found the need to use that a whole lot, but it is worth exploring to see if it floats your boat and makes you excited. Some people like to dig a little deeper. I like to keep it simple, just use my hashtags using my keywords. On the next page, page seven, is where I really want to encourage you to find your voice. I mentioned just a minute ago that Twitter is the perfect platform to play, interact, be serious, be strange, be you, find your voice, just be authentic, just be who you are. It's far too often that businesses are overly formal on Twitter. And look, that works well on LinkedIn. It's expected on LinkedIn. People will not appreciate playfulness and goofiness and strangeness on LinkedIn. But it's a totally different audience, a completely different platform on Twitter, where people do appreciate the odd interactions and the strange little tweets and the quirky things that make you the special coach that you are. This is the place to not be afraid and to let that shine. Your personality is the thing that's going to attract people to your profile and to your tweets and make them want to follow you. And people on Twitter respond the best to friendly conversational tweets. So if you are finding yourself a little bit afraid, this is just definitely a great platform to go in there and play and experiment a little and be yourself, just within the confines of appropriateness for you. Be who you are right here on Twitter. It's fun. It's much more fun that way, and you get a much, much better response that way. The important thing is that when you do get in there and begin garnering some attention and people start responding to your tweets, you want to be sure that you check that feed so that you can reply when people tweet to you or about you or mention you. You'll want to favorite a tweet if they've mentioned you. You'll want to say thank you for the retweet if they retweeted you. You just want to be responsive. And typically I find that if I check in on my Twitter news feed at the end of every day, literally 10 minutes out of my evening while I'm sitting down and catching up on the news, I can catch up on Twitter in 10 minutes, if even that, just by checking my stream to see any mentions that might be there. And that is, let's see, I'm going to pull up my page. That's easily done by hitting your Discover button at the top of your Twitter page. Give me 1 minute because I'm pulling it up. I had a little computer snafu. Okay. So you hit Discover at the top of the page, and it will show you who has responded to you or had something to say to you on your feed, and then that gives you the opportunity to just hop right in there and respond right back to people and get a conversation going. So always respond. I like to always make sure that I respond. I'm sorry, the word is notifications at the top of your page. That's the word I was looking for. Click the notifications at the top of the page, and you'll see on the very next page everything that everybody said to you or about you or mentioned or retweeted in your stream. I've included, just to show you what I'm talking about when I say let it shine, I've included some sample tweets. And if you looked ahead, then you know what I'm talking about on page 8. These particular businesses have done a spectacular job of bringing personality to their brand. And some of these brands are really big, huge companies, but they've made themselves so endearing and so cute that you really just want to read their stream. And that's really what it's all about. You want people to want to read your tweet. So starting on page 8, number 1 is give your audience prompts. And by prompts, in this particular case, it's a question. These people, Area Arena Flowers, which is just a flower shop. I looked them up online. It's just like you can point on any given, it's an FTD florist type shop thing. Click on the flower and pay for it and send it. Cool kind of site. They have capitalized on the popularity of Game of Thrones. You are not a Game of Thrones character. You work in an office. The year is 2013. Please return to your spreadsheet. That's just as cute as can be. And the question is, what Game of Thrones character are you? Now notice, that's cute and all, but notice what's really cool here is they got 1,545 retweets and 546 favorites. That's a lot of eyeballs on that. Now, you know, you can't expect to start out that way yourself, and this is obviously a little bit of a bigger company. It's probably been doing this for a while, but over time, as you build your following, yes, indeed, you can have that many retweets, and if you're engaging enough, it can happen. It can happen to anybody. Page 9, respond to your followers, like I was just mentioning. M&M's, the yellow M&M has his own Twitter page, which I think is just stinking adorable. I imagine all the colors probably have their own Twitter page, just as cute as it can be. Yellow M&M's said, the number 18 M&M's Toyota will change its look for Phoenix. What do you think, at Skittles? See, there's the at Skittles mentioned. So this tells Skittles, it will show up in their notification that they've been mentioned by somebody. So whoever manages the Skittles account clicks on that and sees that the yellow M&M spoke to them. And their response was, I will tell you how excited this makes me at yellow M&M's, but I would end up depleting the world supply of exclamation points. Again, super cute, great interaction. It got 29 favorites, 10 retweets. And I mentioned on there, how do you know when someone responded to a retweet? And that's your notification page that you'll see on page 10. At the very top, this is really tiny. I'm sorry that it's so small and kind of hard to see, but at the very top of your Twitter page, it says notifications. And when you click that, you see that little box underneath it that shows you that line of everything that happened that has anything to do with me listed in that line. The responses show on your screen when you click the notification button. So that's how you're going to know. It's that simple, well organized for you. You don't have to go hunting them down. They're right there in that notification feed. Okay, so a few more examples. Page 11. Number 3 is create memorable catchphrases. Now, Taco Bell says, friends are temporary, Taco Bell is forever. What's remarkable about that is that the tweet itself is not so terribly remarkable, but look at the number of retweets and favorites. Crazy numbers, crazy numbers. Again, Taco Bell's huge. So granted, we're life coaches and we probably are not going to have 23,000 retweets right out of the box, but you can build a following to get a substantial number of people to retweet things, especially if you're creative and put your personality out there, and that's kind of what this lesson is about. Be transparent about your strategy. I love this. Newcastle Brown Ale says, if you see your favorite TV characters drinking in Newcastle, it's because they love our beer. Also, we paid them a lot of money. No bullets. Love it. Hilarious. They're being transparent, but they're being playful, so it's cute, and people love it, and it's endearing. And it will make you think about Newcastle next time you see them. You'll think, yeah, that was a cute tweet. And speaking of that, on page 12, I've included a Skittles tweet. And I want to tell you a personal story about this. Now, when we talk about how these things impact us, this is a psychological game we're playing with each other here on Twitter. Skittles says in this particular tweet, cicadas are too much drama for me. Well, this is really just my quirky sense of humor. I know a lot of people, you may be sitting on this call thinking, gosh, that's the dumbest thing I've ever read. But this kind of humor just causes me to just bust a gut. They say things that are so quirky and strange and off the wall. I will sit and laugh till I'm crying reading their Twitter feed. I just click on their tweets and read nothing but Skittles tweets, and I can just laugh until I cry. Now, here's the thing about it that works is that I'm walking through the store the other day, and I'm walking through the candy aisle. I don't buy candies very often at all. It's just there every once in a while, but Halloween just came and went, so you know what I was doing. Walking through the candy aisle, and I saw Twitter, and I bust out laughing because one of their tweets that I recently read was, why do scorpions have to be like that? And there was something about it that just made me laugh so hard. I ended up buying Skittles. Now, look, it's not magic. It's just it gave me warm fuzzies. So now when I think of Skittles or see Skittles, I get warm fuzzies because they make me feel good. I read their Twitter feed, and I laugh, and I feel good. I get a rush of endorphins, and my brain is making this connection that Skittles make me feel good. So did they win? Oh, heck yeah, that's a huge win. And it doesn't even matter if I go into the store and buy Skittles next time. The fact is, Tracy Ray gets warm fuzzies every time she sees Skittles now because of their tweet. This is the power of it, you see. I never really gave Skittles much of a thought before I stumbled across their Twitter feed. And now I give them a thought. I give them a thought more than I probably should. Number 6, give your audience incentive. Okay, these can be real or pretend incentives. You don't have to take these incentives seriously. In fact, this one, as you can see, Eat24, this was not for real. They're going to give the first 1 million and something odd people to retweet this will be their favorite people on Twitter. Well, they can't make good on that. They're just giving you something to want to make it. They just want you to want to click on that button. We've used this before with some clients. For the next 256.3 people who click on my Twitter feed, I'll make a macaroni and cheese. You know, stuff, it doesn't have to be for real. It can be for real if you want to do something like that. Maybe you want to give them a free download to your ebook or something. But it doesn't have to be. It can be playful and fun and strange. And like number 7 says, quirky is fine. So I don't know what Betfair Poker is, and this is just a weird tweet. The sky bleeds black. The scorched earth is littered with dead ravens. A man shouts, hashtag beautiful girl, into a void. The world burns. Okay, I don't have any idea what that means, but they got 299 people to retweet it and 99 favorites. So whatever it is among their followers, it makes some sense to them, and they liked it. So quirky is fine. Be that way. And don't be afraid to get weird, like it says on page 13, number 8, Skittles again. I told you I love these people. Every time you retweet this, a turtle learns kung fu. How weird is that? But it's very fun. And I bet the next time you see Skittles in the store, you'll think about this. Number 9, make your audience feel like you're one of them. Kraft mac and cheese, that awkward moment when you're laughing so hard that cheese squirts out your noodle. Awkward noodle. Hashtag awkward noodle. That's just cute. Number 10, pay attention to detail. So Justin Wang tweeted to Sega, what I wouldn't give for Sega to make a new Jet Grind game. And Sega tweets back, because this guy's name is Hot Pikachu Sex, they say, what I wouldn't give to have not read your username. Oh, that's just cute and playful, and it makes Sega a little more human and a little more approachable, and it brings the brand down to earth. Now, you as life coaches, you don't need to worry about that so much. You're already down to earth, and you're already making one-on-one contact. But the point is that you want to put yourself out there on Twitter just as every bit as relatable as you really are in person. Page 14, this one kind of grossed me out, but I still felt like it was a clever way for this particular brand to put itself out there. Charmin says, talk about a huge log. Well, you know, people who like that kind of humor are going to think that's hilarious and click on Charmin and follow them. Will it affect sales? Well, it often does. It actually often does. Page 15, gloat sparingly. Old Spice says, just developed 8 more abs. My total is now 184. It gets 397 retweets. Very interesting. And own up to your mistakes. October Jones says, dear Sainsbury, the chicken in my sandwich tastes like it was beaten to death by Hulk Hogan. What was it? And they owned it. October Jones, really sorry it wasn't up to scratch. We will replace Mr. Hogan with Ultimate Warrior on our production line immediately. Notice how it was playful. But the cool thing here is that it does give this company an opportunity to make good on something. Who knows how they may have reached out to this person on a direct message or in some other way, but it is an opportunity to do so and make something right. It's a great way to have your ear to the ground, too, about what people are saying on the topics that are of interest to you, not just about you. So the bigger brands need to be really concerned about what people are saying about them, but for people like us, life coaches, we want to know what people are saying about the topics that are bugging them, the things that we coach people about. We want to know what they're asking questions about, what's on their mind, what are the topics they want to know the most about. That's one way to have your ear to the ground, is by using hashtags and find out what they're saying. And from that, you can follow those people who are saying things that are relevant or pertinent, and you can find followers from their followers list, which is kind of like they've already done a little bit of the homework. So it's an easy way to kind of start building your following a little bit more quickly. Number 16. Make tweeting a habit. So the big question is, how often should you tweet? I'm asked this all the time. And I always say, start by tweeting just at least once a day. And that's not too big of a deal. You can map those things out ahead of time. You don't even have to go in there every day to make the tweet happen. You can schedule it in advance by using Hootsuite or TweetDeck. Either one of those let you schedule tweets in advance. So you can, like, take an hour this week and come up with 30 tweets for the next month, and then schedule one per day, and then all you have to do is check in on your Twitter feed periodically to see what kind of responses, if any, that you're getting by clicking on the notification tab. Now, I personally use Hootsuite. I tried TweetDeck, but I prefer Hootsuite. I use their free version. I have also used their paid version before, but I, in fact, liked the free version better. For reasons I don't need to really bore you with, it just was a little bit simpler and more streamlined if I create a separate Hootsuite account for each client that I'm managing. That way I don't have to scroll through and find the person I'm tweeting for out of my big long list. There's just their name on each account. So I just log into them individually. But I do, I use Hootsuite, and I've heard a lot of people say that they really love TweetDeck. I liked it. I liked it okay, but I went back to Hootsuite. I was just more familiar with it. So I would suggest doing that to simplify, if you're serious about using Twitter, to simplify. Hootsuite, I think this is true of TweetDeck as well. Hootsuite, you can upload all of your social networks. So you can schedule in advance your tweets, your Facebook posts, your LinkedIn posts, and other social platforms as well. So it's not just for Twitter. You can use it for other things as well, and schedule and get an editorial calendar so you're not sitting on your social pages an awful lot during the day. Okay, page 17, what do I tweet? Your best starting point is to observe what others are tweeting. Like I said before, just put your ear to the ground and start listening to what's being said. You might consider finding another coach whom you admire who's using Twitter and follow him or her to see how they're doing it. I know Tony Robbins has a Twitter account. You can follow Tony and a whole bunch of Tony Robbins accounts of different kinds. You can follow any number of them or all of them and start listening to see what other people who are doing that are doing things that you like and think would work for you and shamelessly swipe their ideas. There's no reason you can't make them your own. If it works, it works. Then once you've listened to the degree that you feel satisfied that you have an idea enough to get started, and I'm going to back up and say this, don't wait until you feel entirely comfortable because then you'll never do this. You'll never do this. I remember taking high dive lessons when I was 11 years old, and we were to climb up to the high dive, and the very first maneuver was to go up there and just sit. And sit for a while and look out and around and down and get comfortable with being up so high above the water. And then you got to come back down. But we only got to do that one time because the diving instructor said, if you wait until you're comfortable taking that first jump off of that high dive, you're never going to do it. So the next time you go up, the requirement is for you to simply jump down. You don't have to dive, just jump. And you don't get any time to think about it. I want you to walk up to the end, count to two, and jump. And that was the rule. And the reason was because the more you stand there and think about it, the more you talk yourself out of it and believe you can't do it. And this is no different than a high dive. You listen for a little while, and then you got to jump in and start doing it. And when you get started, you can try promotions. Like I said, real or playful. You know, vow to make everybody grilled cheese sandwiches who follows you or whatever. Whatever you want to do, try promotions. Quotations do really well. You know, when people, quotes resonate with people. When somebody says something truly profound, even if it's something that we've heard over and over again, when something truly speaks to people enough that it gets called a quote, people respond to those things. Quotes tend to get a lot of retweets. They strike a chord. Just be sure it's true to you. It's true to your personality and true to what you believe. Be sure that it's true to the person who said it. You don't want to quote something that sounds really groovy only to find out it was some real jerk that you truly don't want to quote. I have found that to be true, by the way. In searching for quotes on certain topics, somebody might say something that I truly agree with, and then I'll find out who it is and realize that this is not someone I really want to align myself with for whatever reason. And everybody's got their personal thing. So when doing quotes, just be sure it's somebody that you're proud to quote. Images or videos. Simple video links can be posted in Twitter, and they'll show up in the Twitter feed where people can just click on it right there and watch it right in their feed, which is really cool. Personal insights, little pieces of advice. Short, you've got 140 characters to work to give someone a good tip. You can pose questions to see if you can start a conversation. It's interesting, there's not a whole lot of success I've seen with questions. Everyone says ask questions, but people don't respond as much as you might think. They truly have to be very compelling questions. So think about those. You're not going to do any harm if you ask a question somebody doesn't answer. But give it some real good thought just think about whether or not you would actually want to answer this question. Is it compelling enough? And post stuff that others will want to share. Anything that you found compelling, somebody else might too. I want to say this about posting links. I didn't include this on the list, and I should have. Links to articles that you like or news stories that are relevant to you. Now, these, you know, when you post links, even if it's on your business Twitter feed, it doesn't always have to be exactly specific to your coaching practice. I say that it should be on places like Facebook because and LinkedIn because I feel that you need to stick to your topic. And on your blog page or your website, definitely don't post articles on shoe repair if you are a divorce and relationship coach. It doesn't make sense. But on your Twitter feed, if you found something humorous or entertaining, there's no harm, no foul in posting something just for the fun of it, even on your business Twitter feed. This is truly a different animal, a different platform where just about anything goes. One thing I want to point out is that you'll want to save space on your tweets. Like I said, you've got 140 characters, and you don't want to take up a bunch of space with long links to things like a YouTube video or to an article. So you'll want to shorten those links. Now, if you use Hootsuite, there's a link shortener within that right there built in. But there's another place to go to, and this is also a free service. It's called Bitly. It's bitly.com. You go to Bitly, and you copy and paste the link that you want to shorten, and you click the shorten button, and then you copy the shortened version and into your Twitter feed, into your tweet, and it saves you a bunch of characters so you're not running out of your precious 140 characters. So that's bit.ly, bitly.com. And like I said, Hootsuite has one built in as well. So always shorten your links. People on Twitter kind of expect shortened links, and they don't especially like really long ones. So get in the habit of shortening links whether you really need the space or not, because that's what Twitter folks do in the Twitterverse. Now, on page 18, I'm just briefly touching on setting up your account. This is really the easy part. Setting up your account really is. You just visit twitter.com. You play around with the possible variations of your handle. I would tell you to don't overthink that too much. In all likelihood, you're not going to get the exact name that you want. Like I mentioned earlier, so many users now that it's going to be hard to get the Twitter handle that you want. You may have to play with it to get something that's close. But don't overthink it to death. It's not the most important thing happening here. It's good for you to have your name in there or a keyword in there, but you want a nice recognizable image for your icon, something that stands out from among the rest, something that's nice and bright and colorful. If you have a logo, use that. That customizes your page just a little bit, and you can further customize your page look by using the Design tab on Twitter once you open up your account. And when you click on the Design tab, you'll see a number of different options that you can pick. You'll start on the set. When you click Settings, it takes you to a page where you can click on your profile, and underneath that is Design, and it gives you several different pre-made designs. But you can upload your own images, which I would suggest that you do, just to make it your own, make it as customizable as you can make it without spending an inordinate amount of time. There's really no point in doing that. Select the privacy settings that you feel are best for you. There's really no magic here to any of this. If you want to be found by your email address, and click that. If you want to add a location to your tweet, click that. I have mine set so that you can reach me by my email address, and my location is added to my tweets. And other than that, everything else is unchecked. I would suggest that you unselect most email notifications because there are so many options read through them to be sure what's right for you. Of course, I'm telling you what I've done is I've unchecked everything because I used to have most of it checked so that I'd get email notices. But I found that as my account grew, my email box was busting with every little thing anybody did on my Twitter feed, and it became not a useful tool. It might be useful to you early on, but as your account grows, it may not be. You can always change these settings. Nothing's in stone. Absolutely change them if you want. So I uncheck everything just for the convenience of not having my email filled up with Twitter notifications. On page 19, I say get started. The more you use Twitter, the more it'll make sense. And the more it will make sense to you to become an actual powerful business tool for you. This is one of those things that you kind of need to use it in order to really understand it. I hope I've done a good job of kind of explaining it for business, but the truth is I think that you'd do better to take my hint at the bottom of this page, set up an account for the sole purpose of playing on Twitter. If you're nervous about creating your business account, don't. Don't create that right now. That's just fine. If you're not ready to do it, don't. Create an anonymous one. This is what I did about four, maybe 5 years ago. I created an account for the sole purpose of getting to know Twitter. And what I did was I picked an interest that I have on the side. I'm a true crime nut. And I really do follow every case. Right now, anybody wants to talk to me about Jodi Arias, I'm all over it. I get a little bit wiggy about this. That's why I created a Twitter account about it, so that I could get in and learn Twitter while talking about something that I really, really love. And now that account is up to thousands of followers, and I tweet in the evenings about cases like Jodi Arias. I was all over it, Casey Anthony. All that to say this, when I first started that account, I was lost. All I knew was I was a true crime nut, and I wanted to find others who were like me, who have this quirky little passion, and I started looking, and the next thing I knew, within about 6 weeks, the light went on, and I thought, oh my goodness, I can really see how you could build your business using Twitter. And if you wanted to just use Twitter alone, it's possible to build a business using just Twitter alone. And so now I use that account for other fun stuff, but it was the way I broke into it. It was where I made my mistakes. It's where I posted dumb stuff I wish I hadn't posted. It's where I got involved in conversations and learned what trolls were. Those are the people that go in there and deliberately pick fights and post things that they know are going to get people to scratch their scabs and get upset. I learned all of that stuff by playing around on this goofy little account for as my true crime nut person. It would be my suggestion, if you're concerned about not being ready for using it for business, then don't. Start with something for fun. And just commit to using it every evening for 20 minutes just for play as your downtime. There's no strings attached. You can delete the account if you end up hating it. If at the end of 6 weeks' time you still don't see the benefit for you for business, that's probably a pretty good indication that it wouldn't be good for you to have it for your business unless someone else is going to manage it for you and handle it for you, because it's probably not going to click with you if it doesn't in 6 weeks' time. But I am going to sit here and say that I would probably bet my last nickel that if you start with a passion that you have that's on the side, where you have no nerves invested in this and just fun invested to learn Twitter, you'll probably come out at the end of 6 weeks saying, Tracy, you know what? I really see the value of this for my coaching practice. Now I'm ready to get started. May not even take 6 weeks. I'm saying that's what it took for me when the light went on. And now I still have that account, but I'm much busier with my clients' accounts than I am with that one. That's just the one I do for fun. But that's where I learned an awful lot of this stuff, along with some courses and things that I took. So that would be my best advice to you. If you're not ready, then don't do it. Do something else for fun. I'm going to open this up for questions. I have the questions that you submitted previously, which we can also talk about, but I'd like to open the lines up right now so that you can ask anything if you have something on your mind about this. I hope I can answer it, so let's just open it up. All right, let me read the very first question here. And then if you want to interject something, please do so. Does Twitter really help legitimize your credentials? Now, it really does depend on who you're trying to look legit to. Not everybody out there, not all of your favorite, most perfect potential customers is going to be on Twitter, but an awful lot of them probably are. But the bottom line is, use of social media is expected these days by most internet users. One of the first things most people do, and I do this, when I go to a website, is I look for your Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest, YouTube. I look for all of your channels to see what you're doing on social media. And I'll tell you one reason why I do this. I can't speak to why you do it or anyone else does it, but I know one reason that I do this. I want to get a glimpse of a person's true personality sometimes with stuff like this. You may have a really cool bake shop website, but if I'm really wanting to do business with you, like for you to cater my next whoop-de-doo-dah, I might want to know a little bit more about what you're really truly like. I'd go visit your Twitter feed to find that out. That's just one way that I use it. Because people do expect it, I feel like it's a good idea for you to have at least one platform that you're using frequently. Now, I am the poster child for the Cobbler's Son Has No Shoes. My own business Twitter account moves along. But for my clients, I'm on Twitter for them all the time. And I see how important it is to have at least one channel somewhere that you're using on a regular, frequent basis. You might want to use Facebook and Twitter and Google+, but what's really important is that you keep those pages active and alive and moving, and if they're not, it's probably a good idea to focus on the ones that you can keep moving, like stick with Twitter and Facebook and your blog page. In any case, I feel like it's important to use social media simply because everybody's looking for that. I liked this next question as well, and please do interrupt me if you have a question. How time-consuming is Twitter? Now, that question's a little bit hard because when you fall in love with Twitter, as I fall in love with Twitter, it can become very time-consuming and you have to kind of reel yourself in. However, it doesn't have to take very much time out of your month at all or out of your week at all. I'd say a couple hours a week is well adequate, if even that much time. A couple hours is a pretty generous amount of time to keep a good account going. And this is per week, not per day. I'm talking about pulling together the tweets that you might want for the next week or the next month and going through and listening. It takes a little bit of time to listen and do a hashtag search to find out what people are talking about. But I think an adequate amount would be a couple of hours per week. Now, another question was the cost-benefit analysis for its use. Now, I get asked the ROI question more times than I can shake a stick. And I always tell the same question, the same story. I have other stories like this one, but this to me encapsulates the best how difficult it is to truly measure social media and its impact on your account. And I'm just going to read this so you can follow along. Years ago, I began following Allie Broche of HyperbolaAndAHalf.com. She's a cartoonist with a sense of humor that cracks me up. And, oh, my gosh, I have the quirkiest sense of humor. So when I find someone else who has a quirky sense of humor, I latch onto them so quick. Well, she kind of went AWOL for a block of time, and I lost track of her. When she later resurfaced, I happened across her Facebook page where she was advertising the release of her new book, and I knew the moment I read that I had to have a book, but I wasn't prepared to make that purchase at that time. Well, 6 weeks later, I decided it was time to make my purchase of her book, and like most time-conscious people, I wanted to take the shortest route to buy the book. So rather than going back to her Facebook page and clicking the number of clicks it would have taken me to get to her book page on her website, I just headed straight to Amazon.com where I have an account, because in one click, the book is mine. So that's what I did. In this case, did social media influence my buying decision? Well, absolutely it did. Will Allie Broach know that it was her Facebook page that influenced me to buy her book? Nope. Was it worth Allie Broach's time to advertise on her Facebook page? Well, think about this. Just by reading the answer to this question, Allie Broach has scored once again. Now, you and everyone else on this call will have heard of Allie and hyperbola and a half. Was this what she intended for her Facebook page? Well, sure, but probably not. She wouldn't have guessed that I'd share her website in exactly this manner. She just wanted more exposure, and she's getting it. This is a perfect example of that. Now, this is a Facebook example, but Twitter works exactly the same way. I might have just as easily found her on Twitter where she was advertising her book, and I might have just as easily clicked on that link where it took me to her website, where it took me to her book page, and I still would have waited 6 weeks to buy, and I still would have gone to Amazon.com. And so to me, this really very well encapsulates just what a tricky wicket this is for any of us to pin down to see what cost-benefit analysis would really look like. There are some things we can measure. We can know on our websites, for instance, how many hits we're getting. I use Jetpack on WordPress, so it gives me the number of hits and where they came from and that sort of thing. So I can see if Twitter drove some traffic, but I can't see all the traffic that Twitter might have driven. I can't necessarily know how many people may have retweeted something and then they retweeted something and then so on, six news feeds over to somebody I've never heard of who then decides to visit my website because of six generations of retweets that I knew nothing about. It's just a tricky, tricky thing to do. But I go back to this. Everyone's expecting people to use social media. They're looking for it on your website. They're expecting you to pick at least one platform. Facebook, more than likely, many, many people are expecting Twitter. I find Twitter to be effective in finding out information as much as disseminating information. I have learned so much and have hooked up with so many different people for different things, books. I have a friend who found a job on Twitter. She has the Twitter to that job to this day. Speaking engagements, I've been able to sell books for clients on Twitter. There was an internet interview that I was able to score for a client from a Twitter user where we connected on Twitter. So I can say that I know that it works. I don't know how easily I'd be able to map it out unless I had some heavy lifting software to track everything, which costs thousands and thousands of dollars, and that would not be a tool that I would be able to use, and probably not a life coach at this point either. So does anybody have any questions about that? Well, I think if there aren't any questions, I will wrap it up. I'm willing to stay and answer any that you might have, but we are over an hour now. So if there aren't any questions, I think we'll just go ahead and wrap up.